As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." As Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to one another, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you will go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is the gospel for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the people of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If I could get just a little bit lower volume there. I don't want to overpower anyone or, you know, make anyone faint out here. Whenever I hear this portion of Scripture, I'm always amazed because I find myself feeling like Jesus is insensitive to these people that come to him and say, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." I wonder, does Jesus really mean that if we follow him, we must give up everything? Can you imagine giving up everything? The comforts of home, car. Well, some of you might want to give up your car, but the things that bring us joy. Is Jesus really saying, "You cannot follow me if you don't give up everything"? And certainly caring for and seeing that a beloved family member or friend receives a proper burial. Wow, isn't that a part of the gospel? Doesn't that remind us of our faith? I'm reminded from just a few days ago when many of us gathered in this space. And I recall the Jesus' words again, "I am the resurrection and life. All who believe in me, if they die, they will live. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die." We say this, we lift up these words when we memorialize those who have gone on before us. Is Jesus really saying or meaning that we need to let someone else take care of that important issue and we have to do that to come and follow him? Every year at annual conference, we set aside a time at the very beginning, the first day in the evening, we set aside a time to remember those who have died and gone on before us. This is an important part of what it means, for me anyway, to follow Jesus. Certainly, this is a sharing of the good news. I'm sure that Jesus does not want us to disappear and not tell our families where we've gone. Isn't that what this third man is saying? "Lord, I want to follow you, but let me go home and tell my family that I'm going to be gone for a while." Wouldn't that kind of sharing be a part of the sharing of the good news? To go home and say, "You know, I feel this sense of calling. And I wanted you to know that." I wonder, each time I read this text, it's the first thing I think of. Jesus is just a little bit demanding here. And the expectations are maybe too high. Maybe some people would be turned away. Or was it just a different time in history, a different time in life when this really had to happen in order for people to truly follow Jesus? Maybe the stakes were too high. But our world really hasn't changed a whole lot. The only way our world has changed is that we have the capability to destroy life quicker and faster today than we did back in Jesus' day and age. We live in an extreme world, and so did Jesus. And perhaps this is why Jesus' calling seems a bit demanding. Requires something more of us than when something comes before us and God is speaking to us or the Spirit is sharing with us to reach out to this individual, and I feel tired and I want to go home and rest in the comfort of my home, that Jesus maybe would be saying to me, hey, if you were looking back at the comforts of your home and not hearing me call you to this place and this time, then maybe you're not fit for the kingdom work. That word fit, you're not fit, that just, it gets to me, you know. It says that I'm not capable, or someone else is not capable or not worthy to follow, and I'm misunderstanding this text when I think of those things, when those things come into my mind. Because the demands are high to follow Jesus in an extreme world. They're high. We're reminded, all of us, of how quickly 50 lives, 49 lives can be in just a second or two. And it's overwhelming for me and probably for you when we think about the need for relief in our world, around our globe, the millions of people that are starving. And in the midst of that overwhelming thought, and or the need for justice, or the continued ongoing sale of human life into various kinds of slavery today, if you're like me, you don't want to hear about that. You want to hide under something and forget about it, or you want to go home and just relax. But Jesus is there in the midst of that discomfort, saying, if you want to follow me, it's going to get a little uncomfortable sometimes. It's going to be demanding on you. And if you keep looking back at those things back there that you're longing to go back to, then you're going to miss something crucial. We live in a world where racism still continues, classism, sexism, religious hate, hate in the form of homophobia, human trafficking. We live in a world that needs God's love and grace. And my friends, when Christ calls us to be a Christian, or when we accept that call to follow him and we say, Lord, I will follow you anywhere. Just show me the way to go. Then we're inviting him to lead us and to remind us and put before us the needs of the world. Sometimes I want to go home and just take a long hot shower, and in summer here I want to take a long cold shower and forget about the needs of the world and the struggles. And we sometimes escape the demands by shopping or searching the internet or updating our Facebook page. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Or texting or Twittering or tweeting or whatever. I think there's another one already. We can escape and just kind of float along in life. And Jesus says, if you want to follow me, remember, I have no place to lay my head. And you may not find the comforts that you desire. You see, Jesus' demands are high because he knows that in the extreme world we live in, that it requires radical discipleship. It requires making choices, of sometimes choosing exhaustion over comfort, being rejected over being accepted, feeling tired instead of feeling totally rested. We sing our praises to God and to Christ every time we come here, and oftentimes in other times of life, remembering the love of Jesus. But if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to have to be a little bit like John Newton, who found himself on a ship full of slaves, and when the grace of God got a hold of him, he turned that ship around and brought those human beings back home. Wow, that had to be a huge step for him. One that probably caused him some financial difficulties, and yet filled him with hope and love and excitement enough to write Amazing Grace. Sometimes following Jesus can be quite painful. And sometimes it requires more than we think we have to give or offer. And in those instances, in those same instances, Jesus is right there with us saying, fear not, I'm with you. And I will walk with you to the ends of the earth. You see, when I read this text and I get all those things going around in my mind, and I'm thinking, Jesus is just a little bit too demanding here, turning people away that want to follow him. I need to remember, and we all need to remember, that following Jesus is not like riding a horse in one of those riding stables where somebody helps you get up on the horse, and then the horse just follows the horse in front of you, nose to tail, either in a circle or down a pathway, and when the ride is over, you get off and go back home. No. Following Jesus is more like deviating from that pathway, and that horse may even rear up, and you may be hanging on for dear life. But at the same time, you see the beauty of galloping on a horse. You feel the exhilaration and the hope and the love inside your heart when a life changes because of something you said or did, because you were present at a moment and prayed with someone, or because you said to that person that came to you, please forgive me for what I said or did to you last week, and you say, You are forgiven like I'm forgiven. You are loved. Or when that person comes into your presence or into a church and they're broken in some way, that we reach out and say, welcome. Welcome to God's house and to our family. There's a place here for you as there is in God's kingdom. It may be tough. It may be demanding. You may feel like running the other way. But Jesus says, come and follow me. In the story of when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, he comes and to find his friend has passed from this world. And Martha, one of Lazarus' sisters, says to Jesus, "He's gone." And Jesus says, "He will rise again." And Martha says, "Well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection, you know, in the next world." And Jesus says, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." And then he says, "Do you believe this?" to Martha. And of course, Martha says, "Yes, I believe." When we follow Jesus, we have to believe where we can't see. We have to trust where we cannot, when we do not feel capable. And he will be with us. And we will witness amazing things in our lives and in the world. Would you like to do that? I know that some of you have already. As we come to the conclusion of our time together, our closing hymn is going to remind us of our calling to follow Christ. May we all dedicate ourselves again. May it well up within us that desire, "Lord, I want to follow you. Show me the way to go." Thanks be to God. Amen.